Good morning, good morning. Great to see all of you today. Glad that you're here. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. Glad that you are here. Aren't you all glad that you have a mother? You wouldn't be here without a mother. God has a beautiful design, a beautiful plan if we would just follow it and accept God's plan and His power. You know what, as I was singing a lot of the songs, I saw my mother. She was a reflection of God. You mothers are a reflection of God, your patience, your endurance, all the pain that you go through. That's what our Father does for us, each and every one of us. Amen? He puts up with us, our tantrums, our squabbles. Corrects us, disciplines us, and loves us unfailing. And what do moms do? Kind of the same thing, don't they? And dads are in there too, but today we honor our moms, and we appreciate you. And we need to uplift mothers and those who are mothers-to-be and pray for them, encourage them. God is the God of life. He's not the God of destruction. Boy, Satan is working overtime right now. The last 2 years, we've endured the COVID issue, the separation, the division, the squabbles, and it's still mixed around in us. And now these last several weeks, we've had the fires up, and the fires have attacked our camp, the work of God. I know that my parents were camp cooks. Volunteers as I grew up. So I went to a lot of church camps as I was growing up. A lot of times I was there, just there, the thorn in the side, enjoying the beauty of God's creation and getting to listen to all the different stories and lessons and everything, and going out on little excursions off to the side. Anyway, our church camp program is important because that is where our kids get an intense, focused week of learning about God and the possibilities that God has for them. And we need to pray for our camp program and continue to support it. As even though Satan is trying to destroy everything, burn it all up, you know, in the end, he knows what's coming for him. He's trying to pull everything else down into his level. And let's don't allow that to happen. Let's show the love of God and keep working to spread the good news that there is life and there is hope. I've always heard about the wildfires and everything. I grew up in Idaho. We had wildfires up in Idaho, too. It's not just New Mexico. And so most of the time it was a far-off places. It wasn't an issue. But boy, when it starts burning up what you are trying to do, that gets a little personal, doesn't it? We need to pray for God's strength, God's endurance to continue on. We pray that there will be a renewal of life around the church camp, even though it's burned off. God is the God of life and the God of restoration, and He'll do His part if we do ours. Many years ago, following a series of wildfires down in the southern part of the state, I remember one of the state specialists, he announced that they were starting to see some revival in the burned out areas. They were reporting that they were reseeding grass seed into the wild burned out areas, and that they were also seeing signs of birds and animals. Well, my mind immediately went off the track. Can you imagine, be bird-brained with me for just a minute. Just pretend you're a bird out there in the middle of the burnt wilderness, and there's no food on the ground because what? It's burned up. But then all of a sudden, there's food from heaven falling down from that there strange-looking bird buzzing over the sky, just like manna from heaven. I guess you're not bird-brained enough. Anyway, I got kind of tickled with that report. Yeah, of course the birds are going to show up. That's where the food is. Look at the feast laying on the ground. And then whenever the birds show up, what else is going to show up? All the coyotes? Can you see the Roadrunner? Okay, my mind is getting way off track here. Okay. Several of you have been working in your yards and gardens here the last few weeks, trying to get everything raked up, pruned up, planted, and watered so that it will grow. I'm one of those people like to play in the dirt and hopefully get something good out of it. I was going to bring you a bunch of roses today, but they got thorns on them. And none of you would like it if I gave you a thorny rose, would you? So anyway, come on over, pick a rose. I enjoy especially when I get to eat some of the produce. And after all the hard work. In our text today, it's springtime. And the people have been busy. They have planted their crops early. The grains were planted early, and they're watching the growth of the fields. But now it's Passover. Springtime has arrived, and Jesus has just cleansed the temple from all the stockyard atmosphere, chasing out the money changers, tipping over their tables, and driving out all those corruption, the spiritual corruption, getting the house of God back to what it was supposed to be, a house of prayer for the people. That happened yesterday in the time frame. And in 3 days, what's going to happen? Jesus knows he's going to give his life as the final sacrifice for all sin, for all people, including these priests and scribes and everybody who's causing all this problem. And so Jesus is trying to relate to them in these final hours, the importance of honoring God, of serving God. Our Lord presents a parable regarding God's expectations compared to what the Jewish leaders are actually responding with. This illustration is identified as the parable of the vine growers in our text. A lot of you have written in black headings over this section. The parable of the vine growers. The Lord specifically challenges the accountability of the Jewish leaders. But as we read this, it's not just for them. Each of us must actually examine our lives because God has empowered and enabled and gifted each one of us. And someday we will be standing before the Lord and He will ask us, "What have you done with what I gave you?" When I call you to an account, how will you respond? How will I respond? Because God does hold each of us accountable for what He gives us. And so as we read our passage, remember, we will stand before our Creator. It's coming. Jesus is coming. He said He's coming soon. Might be today. Are we ready? Will we say, "Yes, Lord, it's all for you. It's all for your glory." The Creator of all, the Lord of the heaven and the earth, is going to look at His vineyard, and He continues to send His messengers, His servants, into the world seeking souls who desire righteousness, and God wants us to give back to Him our time, our talents, our treasure. Who does it all belong to? It should belong to God. We should recognize it. We should willingly, gladly give back to Him. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of life. And Father, we do thank you for mothers. We thank you for the design, the plan that you have established in your scripture for a father and a mother to bear children, to raise up children. Your scriptures tell us that children are a gift from you. You're the one who forms them in the womb. You're the one who gives them as gifts to parents, to raise, to train, to instruct in your righteousness. And Father, we thank you for this plan. Father, help us to do our part to continue to spread the good news of your plan And there's more to it. The most important, that we find forgiveness, repentance, salvation in Jesus, a renewal in Jesus to serve and honor you and someday to live with you. Guide us as we look at this passage of Scripture today. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled this sermon, The Time of Harvest. The time of harvest because Jesus is addressing the day that he is holding accountable these leaders. Let's read our text. I'm starting back in the end of chapter 11, starting at verse 27, and then going on into chapter 12, because this flows right along. That chapter break was put in there by a human being. It's not a break in the story. It kind of leads one thought to the next. They came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him and began saying to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do these things?" And Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question, and you answer me, and then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? Answer me." They began reasoning among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, then why did you not believe him? But shall we say from men?" They were afraid of the people, for everyone considered John to have been a real prophet. Answering Jesus, they said, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Nor will I tell you by what authority I do these things." And he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a wall around it, and dug a vat under the winepress, and built a tower, and rented it out to the vine growers, and went on a journey. At the harvest time, he sent a slave to the vine growers in order to receive some of the produce of the vineyard from the vine growers. They took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent them another slave, and they wounded him in the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent another, and that one they killed. And so they, with many others, beating some and killing others. And he had one more to send, a beloved son. He sent him last of all to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those vine growers said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." They took him and they killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine growers and will give the vineyard to others. Have you not even read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it was marvelous in our eyes. And they were seeking to seize him, and they feared the people, for they understood that he spoke the parable against them. And so they left him and went away. But not for long. That's next week's sermon. A powerful passage reminding us that God is watching and holding everybody accountable for what he has given to them. Let's look at this parable real quickly. The owner has provided everything needed. The owner has provided everything. Everything needed. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31 says that God sought all that he had made, and behold, it was what? Very good. At the end of the creation, God had created this whole world, the universe, and put us people in charge of managing it, taking care of it, of tending his garden. He then charged the people, take care of it, manage it. You don't own it. Who owns it? God owns it. The owner was personally involved in this particular parable. What did the owner do? He cleared the land. He dug the holes. I helped one of the men down in Lordsburg in my younger years. Don't get any ideas, guys. This guy had bought several hundred pecan trees to plant in the plain outside of Lordsburg. Those are my more energetic days. We hand dug every one of those holes. I shouldn't say we. He dug most of them, but I went out and helped some through the hard dirt, through the caliche, down below the caliche, in order to get all those trees planted before they dried up and died. So I kind of know what it means when it says the owner dug the holes to plant his what? His grapevines. He chose the cuttings. He planted them. He watered them, pruned them, got them going. And then what did he do? He built a wall around his vineyard to protect those inside. Who did that? God did it. He built a wall of protection around his people. And then he made a wine press. Where's a wine press? It's in solid rock. That means you got to beat and chisel and hammer away rock to make a depression in the rock. Who did that? God did that so that they could squeeze out the juice from the grapes, trickle down into a vat that had been hand-hewn. God designed and built the tower of protection to watch for and to guard against the enemies. The owner of the vineyard is who? It's God. God is patient. God is kind. He's generous. He's providing. He is forgiving. He's merciful to those who seek His help. God's plan worked through the generations of the people who sought after Him. We read in the Scripture that Abraham's faith led him to be chosen, to be the one of the very special characters of the Scripture. He's called the father of faith. That doesn't mean he began faith, but he was so strong in his faith that he became the father of generations, of nations, because he believed God. Because he trusted God. Because he grew in his faith, ever closer to God. He wasn't perfect, but he got ever closer to God. God provided the plan, the land, the guidelines of management, the harvest, the protection, his blessings, and much more. He provided the law to guide the people into what was righteous, what was evil, to help them to be a holy people unto Him. And greatest of all, God provided a Redeemer. And here He is, standing right before the people. He's been working the miracles of God. He's been proclaiming the message of God. The holy, beloved, blessed Son of God is there, right before their eyes. What's their reaction? God provided everything that they needed. Well, we read in the parable that the owner expects to receive what is due to him. God knows what to expect from his vineyard and when to expect it. God is the source of all knowledge and all wisdom. He is the creator of everything. He put it all together. The more we learn about the smallest, intimate, microscopic cells to the greatness of the universe, it should boggle our minds to realize how majestic and how smart, how intelligent God is. We think we're smart. Think again. We can't create life. We can't take dirt and water and make it start to grow. It takes God. We can't take a broken life and piece it back together and make a beautiful creature. It takes God. And God is constantly at work in people around us, in our own lives. He is the source of all knowledge and wisdom. He is the creator of all that is seen and unseen. So why do people think and treat him as if God is ignorant or foolish? Who's the fool? Scripture says they are. Let's not be guilty. Look in your mirror sometime. Examine your own self. Are you honoring God for who he really is? And realizing how little, how small, how weak and frail you are. Some claim that God is dead or never existed. They ignore him. They ignore the fact that the whole creation is his fingerprint of his power. Life springs from his will and his favor. He made us. We are but dust for a few years, given the opportunity to live. And then our life is what? Gone. Who's going to sustain us? Who's going to keep us? It's God. He who lives forever. God is still the living, active, eternal, vibrant God. The Bible is a record of his power over all the affairs of humanity, of this world. He has all power. He has the final say of what's going to become of our future. How many of us can control even today? We fool ourselves when we think that we've got full control of everything, don't we? Because there's a lot of other people think they have control. And sometimes their plans mess with our plans, don't they? God is still the founder of nations, and he is the destroyer of nations. He worked in the lives of our nation's forefathers, and they worked hard to give us a country that believes in and provides the opportunity to worship the living God. Our leading founders honored God, believed in God, promoted the worship of God, not just God, but Jesus Christ. They were very clear about it. But that's all been swept under the carpet through our education system that we've got today. Oh no, don't talk about God. Don't talk about Jesus. Oh, you can talk about everything else. You can destroy a small child's whole concept of what life is about, but don't talk about Jesus. We've got problems in our nation. We need to get back to God. You need to get back to Scripture. Get back to truth. Jesus said, what is the way, the truth, and the life? He is. And we need him. We need him desperately. And we need to live for him. We must be a constant reminder to our fellow citizens of God's power. We, because of Jesus, are raised from rags to riches, not by our power, but through his grace, through his mercy, through the blessing of God. God sends his servants to receive his harvest in the right season. Joseph was guided into Egyptian bondage, but then to royalty in God's timing. Moses was carried to the Nile River, put in a basket, left there to whatever happened, and then plucked out of the river, grew up, went through a desert, back to the court of Pharaoh to lead Israel to safety in God's time. The judges were guided from testing to triumph. Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and many more were championed by God with powerful messages of direction, of miracles, of correction. Then God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to receive all men to where? To Himself. He would do so in just a few days by giving His life as the final sacrifice for all sin. But just as the parable said, the beloved Son would be killed and cast out of the vineyard. Did He let that stop Him? Not at all. He rose. He came back. And He's coming again. Praise God for His plan of redemption. The last point I want to talk about is the messengers and the owners were all rejected. In the parable, we see that the messengers and the owner were all rejected. Every messenger of God has faced rejection from the people of God. When the messenger is rejected, they are actually showing rebellion against who? The Master Himself, the one that sent them. Joseph was hated by his brothers and was eventually sold into slavery and certain death. But God had other plans. God raised him up to become the second most powerful person in Egypt to save the brothers that hated him and despised him. Moses was rejected by his countrymen in his early years and repeatedly as he was leading Israel to safety. Who gave you the right to be leader? Who gave Aaron the right to be a priest? I think I should be. Oh, my goodness. What did they pay for that rebellion? They lost their lives because God was the one who was in charge. All the judges and the prophets sent by God were doubted, ignored, and abused, if not killed. But they were God's people. And God will reward them. God graciously saved a remnant of the people when they were rebellious and allowed them to return back into Israel after Babylonian captivity. The 10 lost tribes, who knows how many of them actually got back? Only God knows. Ultimately, God's own Son, Jesus, was ignored. He was mocked, he was ridiculed, he was challenged, and in just hours he will be tortured and killed outside of the city, outside of the vineyard, because we don't want anything to do with him. He's the scum of the earth, they said. The evil conspirators thought they could outmaneuver God. What they actually did was actually complete and fulfill the prophecies that they didn't understand to begin with. Because God will not be outdone. Because He has how much power? All power. His plans are always fulfilled. Jesus conquered the power of sin and death in our behalf. And for those who killed Him, if they would just repent. Do you read through the book of Acts, you read that there were a lot of priests after His resurrection who became believers. Thank God that some of them woke up. How about us today? You know, we've had the gospel preached to us for so long. How many of you were grew up in a household that had faith? Not all of you. One, a few of you. Most of you came to the Lord later in life? Yeah? Are you happy about that? Do you have a future? Yes. Do you have a future outside of Jesus? No. And so many in the world need to hear this message. There is hope. Jesus beat death. He's conquered the grave. He's alive. Unfortunately, as you commit your ways, You're going to be rejected by a lot of people. You're going to be ridiculed by a lot of people. You may be injured in your faith, for your faith. You might be killed for your faith. But remember, Jesus is the Lord of what? Life. Of eternity. Of blessings beyond your imagination. More than you can imagine. That's the promise of Scripture. God is the everlasting God. And He gives life forever. God is evaluating our response to His invitation. Will we react to the teachings of Jesus Christ any different than the people of the first century? Will we rebel against His plan and say, "Not today, God. I've got other things that are more important to do." God provides the vineyard of life through Jesus Christ, His one and only Son. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, these words, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear much more fruit." You feel like you're having a bad day? Evaluate it. That's between you and God, but it may be that God's taking away something that is disrupting your production. Or He might be pruning you so that you have a greater production. In everything, give thanks, is what the Scripture says. Are we thankful? Do we praise God for what He is doing? This is the day that who made? The Lord has made. Complain? No. Rejoice and be glad in it. God is with His people. Trust Him. Every follower of Jesus must be producing fruit that is pleasing to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Get rid of your sour grapes and let Him help you produce good grapes. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Amen. All who love God are looking forward to the day when Jesus is going to do what? He's coming back. And then we'll stand before the throne and we want to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." That's going to be a good day. All the grief, all the heartache will be gone. All the rejection will be forgotten. All the scars will be taken care of because God is going to make us new. Romans chapter 11 discusses God's ability to graft into His family those who are serving Him, those who are honoring Him, those who are doing what they're supposed to do. And He also says in Romans chapter 11, He is also capable of cutting off those who do not serve Him. So look at yourself as a grapevine. Are you productive? Or are you just a bunch of leaves, a bunch of show, a bunch of frill? Make sure you're producing, and God will bless you. God wants His harvest of souls today. Is there somebody in your household, a neighbor, a friend, maybe a stranger down the road that needs to hear Jesus, the love, maybe be shown the kindness of Jesus? As Jesus sat at a water well in Samaria, He told the disciples to look around. He said, "Do you not say that there are 4 months, then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white unto harvest." Well, I don't know who to talk to. Open your eyes. Look with the eyes of Jesus. People need Jesus. We've got 1 million people floating around this area, and maybe 10% of them are in church today. And we can't see who needs Jesus? we need to get the blinders off our eyes. People need Jesus. Let's not be guilty of rejecting God. Let's not be guilty of rejecting His messengers. Let's not be rejecting His Word, His Spirit within us. There's a lot of things we can do wrong. But let's get it right. Let's honor Jesus. Let's be productive. God provides everything we need. Do we trust Him? What kind of a vine grower are we in the eyes of Jesus? We'd better be making grapes, better making good connections with Him and living for Him. Now, what other people's response is to us, that's between them and God. Our responsibility is to be the best we can be. Let's help each other be our best. The good news is that Jesus is returning. And He will reward us. Let's be ready. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You that Jesus is coming again. We thank You that You give us the help for what we need to do today. Your truth is living water in a barren, dry, sin-filled desert. Help us to share Jesus with others. Help us to share with them the good fruit of the Holy Spirit, not the corruption, the evil of the world. There are many people who are fighting everything that's good. They are actually serving Satan and the will of Satan. Father, give us the wisdom to show Your love, Your blessing, Your goodness in a world that's desperate for truth. Thank You for this day. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for life. And we praise You in His name. Amen. God bless you. Let's serve and honor Jesus.